Hi everyone, and welcome to the Basic Latina Podcast, an intimate conversation with friends about love, life, wellness, and everything in between. And today I have Roberto Rabassa, who is an old friend of mine. Roberto has been a financial advisor for Merrill Lynch for more than a year. He helps individuals, small business owners seeking help with their financial goals, whether it's retirement, investments, lending, or cash flow services. And he has been in the industry for 5 years and has a huge background in finance. So today he's going to lead us through a discussion about different ways that we can invest our money in different types of investments, especially since we're all trying to live our best lives out here and make sure we have enough money for our kids one day.
Correct.
Thank you so much, Roberto, for being on here.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. So let's kind of get right into it. For those of you who might have listened to my generational wealth episode, I thought about doing kind of like a second part to the generational wealth, because I think both investing and generational wealth come like two and two, because when you're investing, you think I'm investing for the future, I'm investing in myself, I'm leaving something behind. So I want to start off by kind of talking about different types of investment. So if someone is just like, I have a certain amount of money that I'd like to put away, how do I make it grow? Where do I put it?
So really the As generic as possible, the traditional investment is usually in common stock, which is what you hear on TV. You associate it with Wall Street. Common stock is basically a share of a company. It's usually publicly traded, and once you buy a piece of common stock, you represent represents ownership of the company.
So when people are saying like the stock market is up or it's down, that impacts you if you have
invested. So there's a difference between investing in individual stock and then investing in the stock market. So the stock market, which is based in, you know, America, every country has their own kind of market that they follow. Our market is in the U.S. You might have heard of NYSE, which is the New York Stock Exchange, OMEX. Chicago has their own options trading exchange too, but our stock market is has basically three indexes. You have the Dow Jones, NASDAQ, and the S&P 500. So these three indexes have basically holdings of different companies with different sectors. Dow Jones has predominantly industrial companies, NASDAQ has tech companies, and the S&P 500 has kind of a rarity of both. Companies like AT&T, Verizon, Apple, those type of companies are called blue chips. They've been around for a number of years. Coca-Cola. Basically companies that...
Like the big guys.
Correct, the big guys. So a traditional person, they would usually invest in companies like that. Just because they have a track record of growth over time. And essentially that's what you invest for growth over time. So that's just basically... investments in common stock. So an investor, if you want to grow your money, you can either do it yourself, you can look up companies you like, you can open up a brokerage account at either TD, Fidelity, even banks now have subsidiaries where you can open up a brokerage account.
Now, what is a brokerage account?
It's basically an investable account. So you can buy and sell shares of common stock if you like.
So you can go into a bank, say TD Bank, and say, you know, I have $1,000 I'd like to put into a brokerage account.
Or you can even go online,
And and it's like having a financial advisor tell you where to put that money?
Well, you can, it goes both ways. Usually an advisor, they need a certain amount of investable assets first. Speaking with my experience, I only deal with clients, I can only help clients that have a minimum of $100,000 or more.
So I will not be with your
clients. Below that, you would open the account at a brokerage. Like, you know, like I just mentioned TD. Or even Merrill has one called Merrill Edge. It's usually for, you know, just a novice Joe Schmo who wants to start investing. But they dictate the account themselves.
The person themselves.
There is a kind of an automized way that they can go based on a goal. So say, for instance, they have $1,000 and in 20 years they want it to be at $50,000. They can put in their information and the brokerage site will give them, hey, based on what you want, your goal, this is how much you should put away monthly or weekly, and this is what you should invest in to have it grow to this.
So that's what I was going to ask you, because if someone has the money and they're thinking, okay, well, I'm putting it in this account, but how does it work? The account is perhaps giving you guidance based on what your goals
are. Correct. Okay. Not every brokerage firm has that type of, you know, goal-based account.
Mm-hmm.
We do at Merrill, and we also as advisors have that for our clients who we can help to have the investable assets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically when someone talks about investing, they're talking about investing in common stock, which mm-hmm. which predominantly they're known as equity securities, because when okay. you buy them, you gain equity, you gain ownership. There are pitfalls to owning stock. Of course, right. you're dealing with volatility.
Right.
The price can be up or down.
Right.
It can be very rewarding if it does grow over time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of common stock, they pay what's called dividends.
Right. I've heard of dividends before. So it's almost like interest?
I wouldn't say interest, but if a company is performing very well, usually either monthly or quarterly, they pay out a dividend back to their shareholder. Okay. So look, think of it just a check coming in.
Right, right.
So what's good about a dividend is if, say, you have a basket of stocks that have been performing well over time,
mm-hmm.
you're getting the appreciation and the growth of the shares,
right?
And the dividends are paying out. So what usually what growth investors do, what they're looking to do is reinvest the dividend to purchase more shares.
Got it. That makes
so it
sense.
Just keeps compounding and growing and right, growing right. and growing and growing and growing. And then before you know it, you have all these shares
mm-hmm.
which have appreciated, and your dividend checks have grown immense, immense, immense. So wow. the boomer generation, I would yeah. say, they've kind of followed this blueprint of okay. growth investing over time.
Mm-hmm.
And now some of their dividend checks have been a supplement for retirement income.
Right.
So
now when someone is talking about bonds, are they talking about the same thing?
So I like that you brought up bonds. So yeah. bonds are completely different.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So stock represents ownership in a company.
Okay.
The really big liability that you have is if the company goes belly up, you don't have right. a claim on the assets. That's it. You lose your investment.
Oh, okay.
Bonds are a little bit different, as in if you buy a bond, you have ownership now of the company. They're obligated to you now.
Oh,
so
why don't people do that then?
They do.
Okay. Okay.
So you have equities, which represent ownership,
mm-hmm.
and then you have ownership in the company. And then you have debt, which are bonds that
right.
represent, you know, a direct obligation from the company to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if the company goes belly up, you will be on the claim as a creditor.
Oh.
You know, so taxes, wages to the employees, any mm-hmm. liens, any mortgages that the company owns, and then the debt, the bonds, they have to pay the bonds back.
Okay, so if somebody is listening to this and they're like, well, I want bonds. Hello. Like, that
so
makes more sense.
Oh my God, this...
Is that more complicated?
Not really. There's a lot of types of bonds.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a bond on mortgages. You can buy a bond on debentures.
And the bond is same thing as a stock in that you're putting money in towards investing in it. You just own it.
Correct, okay. correct. So let me give you an example. So... You buy a bond. A bond is usually at par value. That's like its stated value is $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with a fixed coupon, which is the interest rate. So $1,000, the coupon is 6%.
Mm-hmm.
You're gaining that 6% on $1,000 every 6 months. It pays out.
Right.
And that's just how it works for the duration of the bond. And you could buy a bond that matures in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40. It goes on and on.
Is that the same thing where, like, in movies, the grandparents be like, I got you a bond when you were born.
Oh, yeah. Well,
is that the same thing?
Kind of the same thing, but they don't actually issue... Oh, sorry. They don't issue those anymore, really. Like, the savings bonds, the series, the ones that you cash in at the bank,
mm-hmm.
they really don't issue those anymore. Those come actually from the government.
Oh.
So you have three levels of bonds. You have... Mm. Bonds that are issued by companies, corporations, like
okay.
stock, U.S. treasuries, and then municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three levels. Local government is kind of like municipalities. So state of Connecticut issue bonds, or Hartford County will issue bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the U.S. government, which is treasuries. So the safest is by the government, and they
okay.
usually pay out the less.
What about when we're in a recession, or when there's a government or federal
Correct.
Shutdown? Government shutdown?
It doesn't really, yeah, it really here. Doesn't take effect on the bonds.
Okay.
If there is a government shutdown, the only thing that really hinders the price of bonds are interest rates.
Oh,
so it's
yes.
kind of like a seesaw. So when interest rates go up, bond prices go down. And when interest rates go down, bond prices go up.
Oh.
Which is kind of weird. It's kind of inverse.
Do you buy a brokerage account for bonds?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can buy bonds at a brokerage account as well. Usually people buy bonds if they're just looking for income, because it pays
okay.
out income.
So they're like, I want to literally put something away and have it grow and me not look at it or touch it.
Correct. Or you could, or some people buy a bond fund, which is a basket of bonds, and it could be different bonds from different companies, different sectors.
So there's really no difference than like opening like an ally savings account where you earn interest or something like that. It's similar.
Correct.
Right?
It's kind of similar in a way, but
you could lose your money.
Correct. So I always tell people, if you're looking to, a lot of the older generation, they buy CDs, bank CDs.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
So bank CDs are good because they're typically FDIC insured by the bank itself.
Yes.
They earn an interest rate a month and it compounds. Mm-hmm. What's bad about it is you have to pay taxes on the interest at the end of the year. So it's really stunting the growth, and then it's not hedging against inflation, which is the value of the dollar itself. So that's the biggest drawback that I have with...
Wow, you're bringing it back to economics. You said inflation.
So that's the drawback. Yeah, so it's good. You know, you're checking your bank statement every month and you're seeing, oh my God, I made $1,000 on my $100,000 CD. But you're not...
CD again is putting away money
in a bank. Usually, you know, it's FDIC insured by a bank.
Okay.
And then you're looking at you're paying the taxes on the return, and it's not hedging against inflation.
Okay.
What's great about investments is they're a hedge against inflation over time.
Okay.
Over time, stock will outpace inflation by a mile. That's just how it works.
Right.
And you're able to not take a big tax impact at the end of the year. So if you hold an investment for longer than 12 months, mm-hmm. you pay long-term capital gains on the return when you sell the asset, mm-hmm. and you're taxed at a lower rate.
Oh, wow.
So that's why a lot of people invest as well.
That makes sense. What about when they're telling you to open a 401k or 403b?
So they're operating in the same manner. They're held in a brokerage account at the whatever company that you have, whatever their money manager is. Usually it's like a Vanguard, it's like a Fidelity. Usually Fidelity is probably one of the most common ones.
Oh yeah, Fidelity.
So a 403b is kind of like a 401k, except it's for like teachers, usually for a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Or 401k is issued by corporations.
Mm-hmm. Like the one you at your job.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, if you can contribute to a 401k, do so.
Right.
Especially if your company is matching.
Yes.
That's
a lot of companies do that.
So the way the 401k works, it's the funds are coming out of your pay date pre-tax. So you're not even seeing the money realistically.
That's true.
And if your employer is matching, they're matching your same contribution.
And 401k is supposed to be set you up so that you have money later on
for at retirement. Correct. Right? At retirement. Usually you don't pay taxes on the 401k until you have it. I believe it's 59 and a half when you begin taking distributions on it. Again, what I always tell people is if you're investing in a 401k, don't just kind of set it and forget it. Mm-hmm. Look what your money is being invested into. Even if you don't understand it, try to get in touch with an advisor. Go to your local bank, because what happens is you're putting money away for years and you're not checking the SPD, which is called the summary plan description.
I totally have seen the SPD.
Yeah.
like,
it's basically
that?
Just an overview of where your fund is, you know, mm-hmm. its return, what's invested into. Yeah. Yep. So a lot of times these funds are accumulating in the 401k, and they're being, you know, they're sitting there for years and years and years, and a lot of clients, a lot of people in general, they don't know what the money's being invested into.
Right. And a lot of people that I've noticed, at least in my age bracket, when they're changing their jobs a lot,
they just leave it there.
They just leave it there, or they don't, or they cash it out.
Yeah.
Because they want money.
Don't do it.
Right. Which everyone who's like, no, because then you have to pay taxes or something like that on it. Or on
that
side.
You can always pay taxes.
They don't roll it over like they're supposed to from job.
Roll it over.
And another friend recommended, if you change your job as much as you do, and why don't you just open a separate 401k like outside of your job? Would you recommend that?
So everybody's different in their given circumstance. Mm-hmm. But I always recommend looking into what it's invested into.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these funds, I don't want to put a black eye on mutual funds, but...
Yeah, I'm like, what are those?
So
I've seen
mutual,
those.
So you have a standard brokerage account, right?
Okay.
You're individually picking yourself stock.
Yes.
What a mutual fund is, it's somebody else picking the basket of stock for you.
And that's what a 401k does.
Usually what a 401k, they're usually invested in mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
So mutual funds are great because you're not doing the work.
Right.
But the problem is your returns could be negated by fees.
Right.
Because somebody's managing that fund and they're getting fees.
Right.
So that's the kind of the issue that I have with them.
It's almost like someone taking a percentage.
Correct. And they're correct. Like managing. So imagine you have a similar fund that's performing even better mm-hmm. with less fees, and you're completely oblivious to it because you're just not checking your 401k. Wow. You're not checking what it's invested into. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's literally thousands of different mutual funds, which just yeah. basically pulled. Like, imagine you go to the mall and you have every store. Mm-hmm. That's what a mutual fund is, essentially.
Oh, okay.
So that's my issue with them, but...
And people get... And we get into this trap when we don't know what we're doing. And we correct. Get lazy. So we're correct. Like, that makes yeah. sense. Okay, yeah, have somebody else yeah. do it.
Always look into it.
Always look into
wherever it. You put money into, even if it's a savings account, wherever you put your cash into, do your due diligence, investigate, research. It's your money. It's your future. That should be something that you're invested into immediately.
Absolutely.
Ask me.
right. But a 401k is different in that they're set up so you could save for retirement.
Correct.
But if you have a brokerage account, you're saving for maybe 5, 10, yeah. 15 years.
It's whatever you want.
Whatever
to
you
be.
Choose it to be.
And,
exactly.
And these accounts, too, you can open up retirement save. So a 401k is not the only retirement vehicle.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of IRA?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What is
so,
that?
So there's really two common IRAs. The rest are kind of like for small business owners and on the small business side. Mm-hmm. So you have a traditional IRA and then you have a Roth IRA.
Mm-hmm.
So a traditional IRA, I believe the annual contribution is $5,500 for both. Okay. So that's how much you can contribute annually per tax year.
Okay.
So the way a traditional works, it's kind of like a 401k actually. It gets taken out pre-tax.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not taxed on it until you withdraw the funds at 59.5. You have to withdraw them by 70.5. If you don't, the IRS can take 50% of it.
That's not cool.
So the one I usually tell people about our age, because I have it as well, it's called a Roth IRA.
Okay.
So you can contribute to the Roth after tax. So it's after you've been paid, and you can open it at a bank, brokerage account.
Okay.
You can.
Because jobs don't offer Roth IRAs, right?
Some offer Roth 401ks, which
okay.
kind of work the same. But completely separate entity. So the Roth IRA is great because it's after tax.
Mm-hmm.
If you had the account for 5 years and you're at least 59.5 and you withdraw funds, you're not taxed on the growth.
Okay.
On the growth. So I'll give you an example. If, say for instance, you put $10,000 into a Roth IRA.
Okay.
And 10 years later, it's worth $50,000.
Wow.
You're only taxed on the $40,000 gain. The $10,000 is never taxed because it's after tax already. You're not going to get double taxed.
Okay.
So, and you don't have the 70.5 clause where if you don't take a distribution from it at 70.5, the IRS can't take 50% of it.
Right.
It's yours and that's it.
Okay.
So really what I tell people is if you want to start investing, first get rid of debt. That's the first thing.
Really?
Get rid of debt. Get rid of
man.
Debt.
Oh man, that's my biggest issue.
Get rid of debt.
Well, not so much investing, but, well, yes, investing is important, but I have this thing where I try to do all the things at the same time. So we're going to do a little bit of counseling.
You can, you know, realistically, you can on a smaller scale,
mm-hmm.
but if you really want to go for it head on, you know, I want to maybe 30% of my check every week go here,
right.
Get rid of debt first. Get rid of debt first. Right. I'm talking about like outstanding debt, like big time credit card bill, like get rid of
credit
that.
Card bill is probably
because what's happening is, you're putting money away, but then you're not having any liquid cash for yourself for expenses because you're paying more than you're bringing in. So it's kind of, all your bills are kind of eating away your expendable income.
Mm-hmm.
And that expendable income, some of it is going to your investment. So what ends up happening over time is you're touching the brokerage account to pay for bills. Understand
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what
yeah.
ends up happening.
yeah.
But
and
if,
even on a small scale too. Because
even on a small scale, yeah.
I have I don't know if you've heard of this app called Stash.
Yeah, I've heard of Stash. I've heard of Stash.
So me, I was just like, oh, I'm gonna invest in 2019. I signed up for Stash, and I'm just like, okay, well, cool. I have Stash, but like for someone like myself who wants to get started in investing and stuff like that, who's impatient, I'm looking at my Stash account like, how come things are not moving? Like, what is happening? Like, was that a bad move for me to like...
No, that's,
investing
no. I think that's great. It's relatively for small and novice investors, but that's good. So the first things first, you want to get rid of debt
okay.
as soon as possible. you
credit card debt specifically.
Yeah, credit card debt specifically, or student loans, or anything that's really taking away from your income.
That is covering over you at night like a bank cloud.
And that's for your own individual account.
Yeah.
But if you have a retirement account at work with your 401k, if you are still in debt and you can't, you know, start an investable account outside of your retirement at work, get rid of debt. Get rid of debt first, or just start contributing as much as you can to your 401k.
Yeah.
Because it's still an account for the future. It's still an account that you are going to eventually need. But I always tell people, leverage your retirement account at your job, whatever it's 401k, traditional IRA, Roth, pension, whatever it is.
Okay.
Even stock options, which some companies allow you to buy their own company stock at a reduced price. Leverage all of that.
Okay.
If you have
Company specific.
Okay. Yeah. If you have eliminated debt and you can start an investable account outside of, you know, work, open up a brokerage account. Charles Schwab is really good because their fees are really low.
You said Charles Schwab.
Charles Schwab.
Charles Schwab. Yeah. Yes, I've heard that.
They're pretty good. TD Ameritrade's pretty good. Fidelity's pretty good. And if, you know, if you want to test the waters, just look up a company. You can go on Google Finance. You can look up, say you want to look up Apple. You can see its year-to-date performance. You can see its growth.
Mm-hmm.
If you need guidance, you can go to your local bank and ask for an advisor. They'll gladly be able to, you know, give you some information. But if you're really just, you don't know, you know what, Roberto, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to invest in.
Right.
You can buy, you know how we spoke about mutual funds, how they're kind of like a pooled investments of, you know, different stock or different bonds. You can also buy a fund that follows the indexes of the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very low cost. They don't eat away at the return, and they're kind of just like a set and forget it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put, you know, $500 a month into an S&P index fund and just follow the wave of the market.
Yeah.
Low cost, and it just, you follow it all the way.
Yeah. I mean, this all sounds great, but one of the things that my friends and I were talking about was just like, I don't want to invest because I'm not going to get that money for years. What if I die before then? So what kind of advice do you give someone when they're just like, well, I want this money in like a couple of years, or
correct,
I would like
correct,
to like, I want to save for a house in like 5 years. Like,
correct.
What about short-term investments? What do you say
so
about
for
that?
Short-term, it really depends again on the individual and what you're looking to do.
Okay.
For the long-term, it's always investments in the market.
Okay.
That's just
long-term
the way
investment
always,
in the market.
Compounding interest.
Okay.
The best advisor, well, not the best advisor, but the world's most renowned investor, Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
He just followed that same path.
Just investing, compounding,
and just taking the dividends and reinvesting them, and then buying other companies. He didn't do anything different than what I'm telling you. He just followed that same route. But if you're looking on the short term, if say for instance you have $5,000 and you want to make it into $20,000, you're gonna have to take substantial risk.
Yeah.
You can start trading.
Oh, okay.
Trading. So there's a difference between investing and trading. Trading,
okay.
You're buying positions and you're getting out of positions quickly.
Okay.
Sometimes minutes, seconds, days, weeks.
Mm. Weren't you doing that one time?
I was.
I remember you were posting it a lot on Instagram. Okay.
I'm really not allowed to now because of my job.
Okay.
I still can, but I just have to notify them all the time, which sucks. It's like, oh yeah, I made a trade here. I got out of the trade here. It's like,
yeah.
But that has its risk and reward too. But
If
you're looking for a substantial gain quickly, the only way I see you can do it is either through real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a house, flip it, sell it. That's usually quick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or trading, short-term trading.
Okay.
Which that in itself, it's a lot of risk involved.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, if that's what you want to dabble in, you know, the internet is a plethora of free education.
Totally.
YouTube, Google. Open up a dummy account and start trading and see how you feel about profit and loss.
Right.
And a lot of these accounts, they'll give you a dummy account like $50,000, $25,000.
Right.
Pretend that money is real and see how you feel.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they want to win, but when they lose, it's a different story.
Yeah.
So in order to trade stock, you need really a lot of capital. It's recommended you need about $25,000.
Wow.
And that's just to trade stock and
yeah.
to try to be profitable with that amount.
Right.
there is...
It's almost like betting on like a horse race, right? Right.
Correct,
like
correct.
Having
correct.
A lot of money to like correct. Bet for something.
And to be honest with you, what I learned from trading is it's more emotional than anything.
Mm.
It's really, it's emotion driven. And if you find yourself trading on emotion, you will lose. And really the goal is not to win all the time. It's to have more wins than losses and mitigate those losses. So, I mean, there were times...
Sounds like life.
There were times when I was trading and I would make $5.
Wow.
But it's a win, you know?
Okay.
And I just let those wins compound.
It's like emotional. Yeah. So it's like, kind of like perspective. Like, do you see this win as a... it's a win, whether it's small or big.
Correct. It's still a win. And that win is still...
That's totally can be mental.
Yeah.
Wow.
So stock trading is, you know, you need a lot of capital. You need to start learning how to read charts because a lot of the charts give indicators on patterns that are upcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do, that's called technical analysis, or you can do fundamental analysis, which is basically old school. You're gaining a company's balance sheet. You're looking at their assets, their liabilities, their debt to equity ratio. And you're basically saying, you know what? Is this company profitable? Can I make trades with this? And so that's stock trading. If you're someone who doesn't have a lot of capital and just want to start maybe profiting in trading, you could trade what's called options.
Okay.
So this is about to get a little complex for you guys. So I'll try to break it down.
I was writing things down like, yep, we need to break all this down.
So options is what I started trading when you were seeing my
like
social media.
There,
yeah. So options are great because they're what's called a derivative asset. They deprive their value from something else.
Okay.
And you can trade stock options. You can trade commodities. Mm-hmm. You can trade Forex, which is futures contracts, which is like, you know, the euro, JPY currency.
Okay.
So all these things you can, in real time, buy options for. So I'll give you an example of what an option is. You can buy, they're called, they come in contracts.
Okay.
So you can buy one contract stating that, let's say, the price of oil right now is $2.25.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a contract that says, by end of day Friday, the value is going to be at $2.30. And you can buy that contract. If you're right, you profit. Simple as that.
Wow.
Just like that.
That's yeah. Yeah.
But what's great about options is you get the same leverage as trading stock with less capital.
Okay.
But if you win, you get the same amount of gain.
Mm-hmm.
So usually a price of a option contract is $100. And if you're right, if you're, you know, you bet that the value is going to go up, you buy.
Yeah. Okay.
If you bet that the value is going to go down, you sell.
Mm.
So what differs between an option and just regular trading in a stock is there's not a lot of hedging with stock. If you buy stock, it's plummeting on you, you're effed.
Yeah.
You could hedge it, you know, by, you know, you buy a stock, you can sell a stock at the lower strike price, which is kind of like a hedge.
Right.
But with an option, before you buy, you're able to see your profit and loss if something goes against you, and you're able to get out of it as well. So that's kind of the difference, I would say. And both you can make money because you can trade stock options, you can trade binary options, which is I traded. Those are more short term, literally 30 seconds, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, days.
Right.
In and out, in and out, in and out, in and out.
But you're monitoring it all day, kind of.
I'm monitoring and I get alerts too. So
okay.
I'll place a trade and then, so I'm just going to bring it back to that one example. Buy one contract at 225 stating that at 2 p.m. on Friday, it'll be at 2:30. So I'll buy that contract and I'll put an alert that if the price... For that, because remember, it's the price is going up and down.
Right.
If the price
you're
drops,
like hypothesizing.
Correct. If the price drops below this, pull me out.
Oh, okay.
Pull me out. So that's what hedging is. You just
you
hedge your loss, which is I think phenomenal because you're able to stop the bleeding.
Right.
And
if
you get out in time, you're still able to profit some too. So, and what's great what's great about options, well, with stock too, when you're trading stock and options. Say, for instance, right away, the price is above where I want it to be. I can just sell it and profit instantly. The money goes into your account right away.
Mm-hmm.
So you still got to know what you're doing. Still do your due diligence.
Like you have to do your research.
Yeah. A lot of these option trading platforms, they give you fake accounts to start off with.
Okay.
And they have all their education, literally what is what, on their sites for free, which is phenomenal.
I do want to ask you about resources, but before we get into that, what would you say is a good place to start for parents? Because I've seen like a lot of different programs, like Gerber and all these places are doing.
So I think if you have a child, no matter the age, automatically you should have insurance, life insurance, verbatim.
For them.
For them.
Okay.
On them and for yourself.
Well, yeah, for yourself, life insurance, totally. But
life insurance, that's a must. If you're looking to invest for your specifically for your child's education,
yes,
there's two things. There's it's called a 529 plan. Mm-hmm. It's basically a prepaid tuition plan. So you're paying today for college costs in the future, and then you have another type of account called a Coverdell ESA, which is kind of like a savings account that's used specifically for college education, and you can contribute up to $2,200 a year, and you can let it grow. Both accounts can grow.
Okay.
As long as they're used for qualified education expenses, you're not paying taxes on it.
Qualified education expenses?
Yeah, so like tuition, room and board, books, things like that.
What if they want to be a plumber and go to a trade school?
I don't know. You know what? That's a great area.
You know what I mean? Because kids want to go to... college or institution, so it doesn't matter if it's community college.
Yeah, any college institution.
But if they're going to like a trade, like Lincoln Tech...
I don't know. I think it might work. Honestly, I didn't look into it that deep, but I think it's considered. I think if it can be qualified as a college, you know, as a higher education expense, you can.
But would you open? I don't know if you remember this, but would you open a CD for a child? Because I remember. I don't know if you were around for this, but Butchie's dad.
Yeah.
Put like invested. I mean, I was too young to realize this, but I think when he graduated from high school, his dad had put money in an account for him, and he ended up having like thousands of dollars in this account, which he put into a house because he didn't go to college.
Yeah.
So, and later on, I asked Butchie how he did it. He said it was a CD. So, would you recommend that for a child?
You know what?
Things were different.
Yeah. Because, and also, probably when he started the CD, Butchie was younger, maybe interest rates were much better.
Yeah.
Because back, you know, when we were younger, they were much better. They were paying like 4 or 5%.
Think about it,
Now they've been, I mean, I haven't seen one gone higher than 2.5. So maybe times were different where it just...
Yeah, because that was over 30 years
ago. Yeah, and maybe he got that rate and it was fixed for 30 years. And it just sat, boom, boom, just grew.
Yeah, because he had a hefty down payment for his house because it was either education or something else.
Yeah.
So, okay. So right now, so you wouldn't necessarily... You want to look at the interest rates first before you start investing in a CD for long term.
Correct.
But definitely. I like these two accounts, a 529 plan.
Yep. Okay. Which is, it's typically called a prepaid tuition plan.
Prepaid tuition plan. And you're putting money away each month, or they take out money out of your account?
It could be either or. It could be annually, the contribution could be monthly, either or.
And what about resources? Because people are probably going to listen to this, like, what the hell is a hedge fund? What does this mean? I'm so confused. What is this guy talking about?
So a couple of resources that I use because a lot of the information I have is self-taught. Investopedia literally has everything.
Investopedia.com
has everything.
Like Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Okay.
You go into the search bar and you just type in anything. Stock investing 101, anything. Mutual funds, ETFs, bonds, anything. It'll come up with a page list of just different resources. Specifically for trading, YouTube.
I mean, YouTube is great.
YouTube has everything. I learned how to trade on YouTube.
You also learned how to trade probably at a time where there wasn't as much resources than probably we have now.
Correct.
Are there books or podcasts? Or...
Yes, there are a couple of books too. A couple written by an author named Timothy Sykes, I believe.
Okay.
I also went to Barnes & Noble and got a book on trading for dummies.
Oh my God, I was hoping you said that! Because I'm like, does somebody use a for dummies book, please? Okay.
I mean, even the library, Barnes & Noble, has just a ton of free just books.
Mm-hmm.
But really, for me, I am a more visual person.
YouTube.
I learned on YouTube. Specifically with trading options, I went on Nadex.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Nadex has literally just webinars there on what's what.
And I can say for myself, I'm not you guys know that I'm terrible at money, but two resources that are really good for me is Girls on the Money, which is, I forget her last name, but her first name is Maribel, and she's a Latina who talks about financial literacy and investing, and she has a newsletter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if you sign up for her newsletter, it's usually like a quick, like, one pager with what's going on in the market. She usually has an article, and she usually talks about like investment news. She has an article, and then she talks about like what she's investing on and what she's traded or something like that. And it's very investment heavy. So like it took me a while to kind of get into it because she doesn't like go into like how to save or nothing. Yeah, it's just like straight boom. Investment. It's like, and this is what Apple is doing. And I'm like, what? But she does a good job of in the newsletter when she's talking about like mutual funds, dividends, you can click on the word and then brings you to a link.
That explains it.
That's cool. That's cool. You can follow her on Instagram as well. I forget her Instagram, but I put it in the show notes. And then the app I was talking about earlier, Stash. If you don't want to sign up to invest, that's fine. But Stash has a lot of resources on how to invest. They have quick little articles. They have videos.
Stash is pretty good.
Yeah, Stash is cute. It's actually one of the ones that they recommended for young women in Cosmo.
There's another, this is an app too and a website. It's called Betterment.com.
Oh, I've heard of Betterment.
Betterment's really good. So I actually use Betterment for my personal investment accounts. I have like 6 on there. All for different things. Because that's, you know, as you go on with investing, you want to open up other accounts, maybe with different goals or and just have multiple buckets. And that's how really you set yourself up for the future. Even if you can contribute $20 here, $30 here, as long as you're contributing, that's growing.
Right.
But Betterment is great because it allows you to implement a goal, implement an amount you're starting with, and give you a realistic approach of
right.
If kind you're like behind, a on target, it's great. And a lot of their funds are invested in Vanguard ETFs.
Mm-hmm.
So ETF is kind of like a mutual fund.
Mm-hmm.
But what's great with them is that their expense ratio is really low. Really low. And they trade intraday like stocks. So they gain like a stock, but their expenses are really low.
Oh, nice.
Really, really low.
Right.
So all their portfolios are filled with Vanguard ETFs, which they're just phenomenal. And they've been performing really well.
That's awesome.
That's not a testimonial either, but they've just been performing really well.
Yes. And guys, before we even start investing, we have to pay off our debt.
Yes. Debt is first.
Oh my God.
Take care of debts.
If you want, like, and this is coming from me who I'm trying to get my life together, please listen to Dave Ramsey, read his book, Total Money Makeover. His podcast is really cool. He has this method called the snowball effect. And I don't know it verbatim, but I know it's something about, like, looking at the credit card that has the largest interest rate and trying to pay that one off by doing, like, twice the minimum. And then when that one is paid off, use that amount to apply it to that second credit card. Yep. So it's like basically, you know, we get all excited because we're like, oh, our card is paid off and we don't have to pay $350 anymore. I'm going to pocket that. No, you take that $350 and then you apply it to another debt.
Correct.
Right? That's a snowball effect.
Correct.
Yeah, because
I think in order for people to start, they have to change their mentality. A lot of people can. It's just they don't know where to start, or they get like this over, you know, bearing anxiety, like, oh, what am I doing? I don't know about this. It's being wealthy starts with your mind first, and it starts with good money habits. If you have, it doesn't matter what job you have. If you have good money habits, you will be wealthy. And wealthy is not considered a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Wealthy in this country is considered having a minimum $100,000. You'll be surprised. And you'll be surprised. A lot of people that I work with that are clients, they worked average jobs. They weren't doctors, attorneys, lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't work at hedge funds.
Right.
Regular Joe Schmoes, but they had good spending habits early on. A little frugal, but they always put money away and they just let it grow, let it grow, let it grow.
Right.
I have a guy who I worked with. He just retired at 64. He was a parking lot
attendee.
That's all he was his entire life. Put all his kids through college, but he always saved money. And I think he retired with in his portfolio $600,000 on top of his retirement. And realistically, in this day and age, you can still be set with that amount of money for life.
Right.
But first, you have to change your spending habits. Buy what you need versus what you want, and cut out unnecessary expenses. Don't eat out a lot. Just be frugal with your money. Don't be a cheapskate, but just know where your money is going, and you know, always put money away. When you get paid, think, okay, you know what? I have bills to pay. I have this to pay. Can I sacrifice $10 here, $20 here? And that's how you start.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that's how I started,
mm-hmm.
and it just grows and grows and grows, and it'll get to the point where you can say, you know what, I can take a vacation this month because I have the money. And it's not going to kill me. You know what I'm saying? And that's and that's where you'll find happiness. You don't have to be the richest. You don't have to be the wealthiest. As long as you can live life financially on your terms, you have freedom.
Financial freedom, freedom, and we've discussed this, I think, in the generational wealth episode and some other ones, that people have no idea how much that ties into your mental health.
It does. Financial stress is the one of the biggest components of mental health. And mental health stress.
Mental health stress, and issues in relationships.
One of the biggest is leading cause for divorce is finances.
One of the first conversations my boyfriend and I had was about finances, because we were talking about, it was so weird. We had to have a conversation about our relationship to money.
Yeah.
Like what he values as opposed to what I value. Correct. Because I realized that our values were different. Mm. And I was just like, oh no, this is not going to work. But we had a conversation because we also grew up differently. Mm. And it's wild, like, it's wild.
I think the key to the key to all of this is really wealth is taught. You know, it wasn't taught to my parents.
Listen.
My parents had no idea what stock was, what investing
is. Listen, we were not taught.
Yeah, but predominantly people in our demographic, they need to break that cycle.
People of color, we got to break those chains.
We
got to
break that cycle. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way we move up.
Absolutely.
And the idea is for you to pass this knowledge on to your kids and their kids, and that's how it happens. That's how generational wealth is created.
Yes.
It's just passed down. That's all it is.
A generational trauma. Correct. That's how it's passed down.
Correct.
So if you saw your parents, you know,
struggling to pay bills.
Listen.
Not making ends meet, not having money for this and that.
Right.
You know? And you got to be the one to, you know what? I'm going to change that.
And it's not too late, guys. I know that you're probably thinking, because I think almost everyone that I know now is like 30. Like, we're all 30.
I'll be 31 next month.
Woo! That's awesome!
And you know what? I just started investing at 26. Yes, I was trading before, but I started investing at 26.
Right. When I knew Roberto in middle school, he wasn't trading, like, in the little playground, maybe Pokemon cards. I don't know if you were into Pokemon, but...
I was.
There you go. So,
I still have them.
I know his like mom and his siblings, and it's not like he was like this little Steve Jobs and that in the classroom.
Far from it.
He was like a regular Puerto Rican kid just trying to make it in Hartford and stuff like that. And like, later on, something clicked, right? Where you're just like, nope, I need to like change the wheel.
I just always saw people. Mm-hmm. And they just had money, and I wanted to know why.
You wanted money.
Yeah. that's what it was. But I wanted to be able to live a different life when I got older and provide a different life for my kids. I wanted them to grow up in a nice house. Not only that, but I wanted to live life on my terms. I didn't want to work forever. Mm-hmm. So I started researching, okay, what do wealthy people do? Mm-hmm. And this is what they do. If it's not investing in the market, they invest in real estate. That's the next thing that's coming.
Right. So the difference between you and maybe like someone like me is that you kind of started a little bit earlier. When did it click for you that you were just like, I need to research what rich people are doing. I want money. I do not want.
I think this was probably 2012, 2013. I mean, I always had like a...
So like early 20s.
Yeah, mid around there.
Okay.
I always had a fascination with it. I always wanted to know how it worked. Because I was just tired of going on the news and seeing charts and patterns and seeing digits. I'm like, what is this? This is cannot be as complicated as they make
it to
be.
Right, because back in the day when the iPhone first came out, they had the little stock thing. And everyone was like, what is this?
And I'm telling you, after knowing what I know, everyone can pick up this information. Mm-hmm. Everyone. It's not what you think it is. It's not as difficult as you think it is.
And it's a teachable thing. It goes back to the
mindset.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, majority of what I've learned has been self-taught. 50% of it has been with work, where I'm at now. But really, I would say, you know what, more than that. It's all self-taught, and it's all free education, you know? And don't be scared. Do not be scared to pick up a book. Do not be scared to read. Just get it. Yeah. You know, you want something in life, you have to get it. That's the only way it comes, you know?
And listen, this episode is timely, isn't it? Hello. This is where you're going to be with your tías and your uncles and aunts, and they're going to be asking you all these questions about where your life is going, and you're going to start questioning your job, your relationship, your housing situation, the new year is coming around. We all feel this kind of pressure as the year is ending to figure out, did we achieve our goals? But this is not the time to beat ourselves up. Now is the time to be like, work is a little bit slower for all of us. Mm-hmm. We're going to be indoors. Pick up a book. The book that I wanted to mention was Secrets of a Millionaire Mind. Have you read that yet?
No. So that sounds good though.
Secrets of a Millionaire Mind is by T. Harvey Eckler. I definitely said that name wrong. Sounds familiar. I have it if you want to borrow it. But it's a very, very like easy book to read. He kind of yells a little bit, but he literally makes you journal. He, you know, gives you assignments in each chapter, like write what your relationship to money is like. And he gives you like a millionaire mind like question for you to brainstorm. So it's something that like my book is highlighted, it's written in it, there's tabs. And I refer to it all the time. And because we talked about the mindset, I feel like it starts with that because you need to kind of figure out what your relationship was
100%
like.
100% starts with the mind. 100%.
It questions like, what were the messages of money that you received as a child? Mm-hmm. How did you see money get exchanged when you were small? I had even, like, it's so like cosmic and like you use like, I don't know how to explain, like spiritual. I remember one time I went to a fair and the woman I bought like a crystal from her. She's like one of those like healing type people. And she was like, before you give me your money, place it in my hand because exchanging money is an exchange of energy and currency. She like made me give her the money in a certain way because she said people throw away their money so quickly. So you have to be more intentional when you're giving it to someone and not have to receive it intentionally. And I was just like, psh, mind blown. Right. I never thought about it like that. But yes, sis. But
So
it starts.
One of the things that we're talking about, you know, in the mind, go to your closet. That's what I always tell people. Go to your closet. Think about how much you get paid an hour and then look around in your closet and think of unnecessary things that you've sacrificed an hour of your time of your day to pay for. And you realize in your own house, you have a bunch of things that are worthless, absolutely worthless. Mm-hmm. And that happened to me when I had my realization. I had about, I think my closet at the time had 50 pairs of sneakers.
Listen, you have so many fucking sneakers in your closet.
I had 50 pairs of sneakers.
Oh my God, yes.
And that's when it hit me like, are these sneakers paying me back? I still have them.
Oh, okay, I was about to say, you got rid of your sneakers.
Do I need these sneakers?
Right.
And you realize you don't need these things. These things. And if you can, you know, and if you buy yourself something, you know, treat yourself. Okay, cool. Buy yourself something. But then buy yourself something that's going to make you money in return. That's what I always tell people.
Yes.
Always.
And we're not...
Reward yourself in that nature.
Right. And you guys know I always have a resource on hand. So there's... I know you guys have heard about minimalism. Because we've talked...
My mom's minimalist.
Is she?
She's a minimalist.
Is she Spanish? Yes. I need to talk to her. Yeah, because Spanish people are not minimalist.
She's minimalist. And she adopted a vegan lifestyle, too, as well.
And
my sister.
That's the next thing I'm trying to get into.
Just a healthier life. Because meat is detrimental to your health.
Yes.
It is.
If you don't know what minimalism is, go back in the Basic Latina archives. Because I spent an hour talking to my friend Kim, who's a minimalist. She's currently getting her PhD in Nashville. Hey, Kim. I hope everything's going well.
Hey, Kim. What's up?
Hey, Kim. So she has a minimalist lifestyle. And literally, she is so fucking free. Like... Sis has glowing skin, never stressed out, like budget so well.
Living her best life.
And it's like, so I would look into the minimalist lifestyle. I know that's going to sound corny, but watch Marie Kondo's Netflix documentary about the items in your closet. Read The Joys of Tidying Up with Marie Kondo, where she literally talks about how each item in your house should spark joy for you. And in order for you to clean out your closet, you literally have to take that shirt and look at it. Does this spark joy? It goes back to that spiritual kind of connection to your things. And if you end up in a house with a couch and a couple of plants, you're good.
I don't know if I'm living a minimalist lifestyle right now because my house does not have a lot of things in it.
It doesn't, or it does?
It's like in the middle. I'm trying to decorate it to make it more lively, but it still looks like more like a bachelor pad.
I mean, that's okay. I feel like I have a lot of things in my house too, but I would say, like, minimalist doesn't have to be like black, white.
Correct.
Like, because if you look at minimalist, that's literally what it's going to look like.
Yeah. I saw the documentary on Netflix and the guy was like, I have one jacket.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that.
One jacket.
It
serves its purpose.
Yes. No, you can have nice things in your house, but like Roberto said, look at your closet and figure out, like, if you haven't, a good rule of thumb is like, if you haven't used that top, or those pants from last year.
Why do you have it? Exactly. Why do you have it?
Are you going to miss it?
Give it away. Exactly.
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 So, wow.
And then at the foundation, it gets to, do I really need that cup of coffee today?
Oh, you better stop. No, for real. I even... We're gonna end soon, but now I'm just like thinking about. There was a girl on Instagram the other day that she was like, I know that this is probably rude or unpopular belief, but like I really hate going to the nail salon because you spend 2 hours there. Hmm. And I was like, yo, same. Why do we spend $50 to $60 at the nail salon to get people probably talking shit about us, mm-hmm. sitting in the nail salon?
Remember, you need to get your nails done though.
Because you want to look cute.
Exactly. Exactly. Like,
yeah.
Exactly. You wanna be rich? Make lunch at home. That's how it starts. Don't eat out.
Bring your lunch to work.
Yep, that's how it starts. That simple habit, you'll see how much money you'll save in a month.
Oh my God. Sorry, I have another book to recommend. You know what? Okay, but I'm not going to even talk about my habit of buying books that I read. And I'm just like, okay. Wait, no, I have to look up the book. So there's a book around habits and how to develop better ones and what to do when you need to develop better habits. Okay. The Power of Habit. Why we do what we do in life and business. That book is pretty good. It's very, very, very scientific, where it talks about where habits started. Like, literally, he talks about why toothpaste, because people didn't brush their teeth, like, in World War I. And he talked about how the guy was able to convince people to brush their teeth. Mm. And it was as simple as making it minty and tingly. So people would put toothpaste on their toothbrush, and the sensation, right, of the peppermint made them want to do it again. So your brain is literally looking for some kind of reward to the habit. Okay. So you going to get that coffee in Starbucks warms you up, so that's why you keep doing it. But perhaps if you can replace the purchasing of the coffee by bringing your own, the reward is still there, but you're changing the habit. Yeah,
that's an interesting take on the psychology of that.
Yeah, it's the power
deep.
Of habit.
That's pretty deep.
Isn't that deep? Okay. All right, so to end this, because this is a really good conversation. Yes. I really appreciate it. I usually ask my guests 3 rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
So answer in as little words as you can.
Okay.
All right. So what's the best advice you've ever been given?
Time is a human construct.
Okay. What do you want to be remembered for when you die?
A loving individual.
I like that. How has love shown up for you this week?
I got a recommendation, which is pretty cool, from clients for another client.
Thank you. And how can people find you, Roberto, if they want your services, if they want to ask you questions?
Yeah, so right now you can find me only on LinkedIn at Roberto Robasa.
People still use that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, LinkedIn is the way to go.
Oh my God, don't tell me that. Okay.
It's a good way to build connections.
All right.
Easy way to build connections. LinkedIn, you can look me up by name, Roberto Robasa Jr. I'm the smiling guy with the... I hope there are white teeth on that picture. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. This was great, Roberto. Thank you so much. And thank you guys again for listening. I always appreciate it. If you have any questions for myself or Roberto, or any finance questions, hit him up.
Please reach out. Yes, reach out.
I will definitely put his Instagram handle in the show notes. And on Instagram and Facebook, you should be able to find him as well, because I'll tag him. You can also email me at basiclatinapodcast@gmail.com. If you like to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of the episodes, remember, I'm on all podcast streaming platforms. So I'll talk to you guys soon. Stay well and take care.